Welcome to the most cancer-free podcast in the Quad Cities. It's Card, subject to change, part of the For Frequency's Sake podcast network. If you're tuning in live, if you're listening after the fact, we're talking all things Royal Rumble 2023. Me, Nick, and Stripes, we're going to go over what we thought of the show. We are even going to touch on a little Impact Wrestling from my adventures last week. Let's get into it, boys. I'm excited. I just want to get ready to go and get into talking about the Rumble, because what a great show. What a fun show we had last night.
Yeah, the wrestling community is not at a loss for words after the first pay-per-view offering of the year from WWE. Everything I've read so far, everybody I've talked to, the people I was with, it's a well-received show. A lot of fun and exciting stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did.
I loved it. The men's Rumble didn't disappoint. The women's Rumble definitely didn't disappoint. The individual matches that we had, there were some ups, there were some downs. I mean, I can't say that it was a bad pay-per-view.
So I'm going to be honest with you, boys. I had my expectations set higher than they should have been. Coming out of the men's Rumble, I was just like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's where we're at. But looking back 24 hours later, having rewatched most of it, I think it was a solid outing by the WWE. I can't complain at all.
So before we get into it, guys, I want to hear your guys' from basically A to F. What is your guys' individual grades on it? The whole card all around. If we were to go to school with the Royal Rumble, what do you give it?
Are we grading it on the current teachers grading system, where if you get a 96, it's like a B? Or are we going 90? I will give this a B plus. And that is it. And I'll tell you why I give it a B plus. I know CZ had his hope much higher than mine. I was really bummed and kind of scratching my head when they let off the show with the men's Rumble. But you see why they did now. Men's Rumble was fantastic. The Bray Wyatt match, women's Rumble was better than I thought it was going to be. Bianca Alexa was okay. And then you had the champions, you know, you had KO and Roman, which was just the icing on the cake. But mine's a B plus. I'm anxious to see CZ, what you got.
I would give it a solid B. Like I said, my expectations were a little bit higher. Some things happened where I stood up and I'm like, what? We'll talk about that. We'll get into that a little later on. But yeah, I agree with you, Nick. The men's Rumble was really solid. The Bray Wyatt match, what the fuck? I just dropped an F-bomb again. I am sick, ladies and gentlemen. I am nursing a cold. I'm going to get fired.
But got to put the explicit warning match, now.
What the heck? That was the shortest match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The women's match could have gone either way. Whatever. But the women's Rumble, really, I enjoyed quite a bit. And obviously the main event was fantastic. The way everything kind of culminated at the end there. What about you, Stripes? What's your grade on this one?
So I'm going to look at it. I'm going to give it two separate grades here, just because I'm going to say Royal Rumbles, just by Royal Rumble standards all together, I'm going to give it a solid B like you guys. But if we're saying like current, you know, special events, I'm going to say this is almost an A minus. If right now this is probably the best pay-per-view. I'm gonna pay-per-view. They're always gonna be pay-per-views to me. They're not gonna be special events
or premium live events.
No, they're always gonna be pay-per-views. My oldest son, he's like, what's a pay-per-view? You know, he's from the Peacock generation. He's only 16, and he's like, what's a pay-per-view? So he has no clue. You had to go on there and order, you know, $49.99, and you get the Royal Rumble. No. He just knows
you had to go to the cable office to go get the box.
Yeah. You had to go to the cable office and order it and get the box and set it up. And then if it didn't work, you had to call the cable company.
Oh man. Yeah. Kids these days will never know that. They'll never know that pressure.
They got it good. But I want to say it's a solid B if we're looking at Royal Rumbles. Excuse me. Yeah, Royal Rumbles just in general. And then I would say an A minus for current, you know, special events, pay-per-views.
Well, all right, guys, let's jump into this. We all generally well receive this show, it seems. We both really appreciated the Rumbles. We start the show off with the Men's Rumble. And give me your impression when you see the first two entrants. I'm stoked. I was stoked to see that Gunther was in at one. And, of course, if you've watched the Men's Rumble, he's a made man now, and I'm excited to see what happens for him. But I was stoked when Gunther was announced number one, or they played his music first.
Strap the rocket to that man. That man, he's going somewhere. He's going to the moon. But it's like when Gunther came out, I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute!" Because I was thoroughly expecting Seth and Cody, one and two.
Me too.
That's just where it went, you know. I mean, that's kind of where everybody's mind was, and everybody was like, okay, one and two, they're gonna last the whole match, and then they're gonna be the last two in the ring. Cool. That'd be an awesome story to tell. But for Gunther and Sheamus to start it out, whoa, banger after banger, boys.
CZ, what'd you think of the first two draws? Well, we're having technical difficulties right now. CZ must be able to hear us. But, yes, when you've got Sheamus coming out at number two, immediately I thought, man, the WWE is trying to give us their best. One of their best matches of the 2022 year was the Clash at the Castle between Sheamus and Gunther. So to have them start out the Rumble was just an added bonus in my opinion. Yeah, I was of the thought that Seth and Cody would start it out.
Yep.
It didn't happen that way, but man, I soon and quickly forgot when Gunther and Sheamus kicked the thing off.
I told you guys off air, but I've got the Royal Rumble, you know, playing right as we speak on mute, of course. But later on, we have Kofi and Xavier Woods. They're like number four and five or four and six or something. But they just did the spot with if you saw the Rumble. The spot where they do the wheelbarrow and Xavier is banging on Kofi's booty. It's silly, but it's entertaining. I mean,
that was a head scratcher for me. I laughed like, it's funny, but I'm like, are people like really finding this funny? I mean, it was kind of caught you off guard. With the New Day in there, we have Kofi, trying to reinvent the quote unquote, it's become a thing, right? The Kofi spot. And I don't know if they practiced it or if they just didn't have the right chair for it because it crashed and burned in a bad way.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, Kofi did go on Twitter later on, and I believe it was today, and he said, well, that's 2 years in a row. RIP, and then he put like a tombstone. So I think that'll be it for Kofi Kingston's elimination extravaganza.
CZ, what were your thoughts about the beginning of the Rumble with Gunther in there early, with the New Day in there, Kofi crashing and burning?
I think CZ's still having. Oh, there he is. There he is.
Hey. I could hear you. I couldn't hear. I was talking the whole time. You guys couldn't hear me. Not the whole time, but and then when you guys could hear me, I got a crackling noise. So
well, now here's your chance. What's your opening thoughts on Gunther, Sheamus starting the Rumble, New Day in there early, and Kofi crashing and burning? Give me some early thoughts on what you thought about the beginning of the Men's Rumble.
Oh, I loved the fact that it was Gunther and Sheamus giving a callback to their matches from SmackDown and from earlier in the year. I'm so glad that happened. As far as Kofi coming in and crashing and burning, wow, what happened? I have no words. I'm surprised that he didn't land the spot like he usually does. He's usually magic when it comes to Rumble matches.
And Michael Cole was trying to, he was really, really trying to save it. Like Michael Cole was like, oh no, one foot is still on the chair. So is he really out? I got to give Michael Cole his credit, you know, where it's due, because Michael Cole was trying to save Kofi, and I was fully expecting him to like jump up and grab the chair or something and then they start bouncing again. But yeah, I think somebody saw, you know, a foot hit the ground and both feet, and that was just it for Kofi.
Yeah. Now with Kofi crashing and burning, we kind of buried what happened with off the top of the show, the return of Pat McAfee. I was reading report today that Michael Cole and Corey Graves had no idea he was going to be on the show. Their reactions are genuine. Like, he got to the show 20 minutes before the start of it.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
That's yeah. Cool. Corey Graves being a little perturbed now is even funnier, knowing that that's really what he was thinking.
Oh, that was awesome. Corey Graves and Pat McAfee all night, their banter back and forth was just priceless.
You know, I hope they go with a three-man booth for these big events. Like, Raw's been fine or whatever, but it's a different show when it's Cole, McAfee, and Graves taking you for the ride. I mean, they're going to give you the best. They're going to take you the best possible way and give you the best possible way to it. And I just felt that last night. I really felt like those guys went above and beyond. And I'm not saying like they were trying too hard, but man, they were on their A game last night. And even the fact that not knowing McAfee was going to be there makes it all the more even better. Like, just go back and hear some of the one-liners in there. And you know the whole story with the Banger Bros and how they can't say it. And I think Graves said it 6 or 7 times throughout the night, which I laughed each time. Or excuse me, McAfee said it 6 or 7 times. And but those guys were on their A game. I mean, and that just makes an event so much better. So kudos to those guys. I didn't want to forget. I didn't want to mention McAfee, and I didn't want to trump what you were saying, CZ. But I had McAfee on here written down, and nobody had mentioned him yet. I'm like, it's great to have him back.
Oh, I agree. I love Pat McAfee. His commentary is amazing. He's hilarious. The only thing I wish would have happened, I wish Shinsuke would have been there so McAfee could have gotten up on the desk and done his little dance.
Yes. I know. We did get Pat McAfee on a chair and almost falling into the crowd as he's trying to high-five Hardy in the front row. So that was pretty cool. He was almost dead before he started.
Listen, maybe he should have fallen on Hardy and done us all a favor.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that later. That was something else.
Oh, my.
So where are we at in the Rumble here? We kind of covered the first third. The first big oh crap moment for me was hearing Lesnar's music at 13. Never did I think I'd hear Lesnar that early. You know, he's a late 20s or a 30 guy. If he's coming in at 13, a new storyline is about to go down, right?
I was assuming so.
And then Lashley following him right after Lesnar, out comes Bobby Lashley.
You know, rumblings say Lesnar, possibly Austin at WrestleMania. Are we going to get Lesnar Lashley the final blow off?
I think we're looking at that.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. If that's where we go, that's fine. But let's revisit it later, because there should be a title on the line with those two. That's just too big of a fight, in my opinion.
I'm going to be the contrarian. I don't really think they need a title. I mean, you got two big meaty men slapping meat. If I know, Big E,
I know they don't need the titles, but I kind of hope that these guys are in like the US or IC title picture at Mania.
I could see an IC title for one of the two, but I want to see if we can get, you know, a Brock versus Gunther match. I don't think I want to see a Bobby versus Gunther. Maybe Gunther.
Yeah, Brock Gunther to me.
Between Brock and Gunther.
I mean,
I got chills.
I was ready for them just to start hammering each other.
There were callbacks last night. That's one of them. Gunther said like 2 or 3 weeks ago his dream opponent's Brock Lesnar and would love to have him at a WrestleMania. I mean, that was my first moment. Like when those two stared down, I'm like, yes, we need to see this. And then, like you said, with Lashley following up Lesnar's CD, the run didn't last long, and then you know Lesnar kind of snapped. And I felt bad for Stripes right away because his boy got his butt kicked by Lesnar before he could even get into the Rumble match, and that being Baron Corbin.
Oh, Baron Corbin got his comeuppance. He got his butt whooped. I loved it. I loved every second of it. That was beautiful. There was some comment that was made that Pat McAfee or somebody said, and I just burst out laughing like the loudest belly. I don't even remember what it was now, but it was something derogatory towards Baron Corbin. I just said, yes, perfect.
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the exact line, but it was something about him being a modern day wrestling god. The whole shtick that he's doing right now.
Yes.
Deity side, I think somebody said, like, murdering the god.
It was something, but I said yes, thank you, because oh man, and he was in and out quick.
He really was.
And now I want to bring up. I messaged you guys right away when I saw Brock Lesnar go out. It almost on Brock Lesnar's face. I mean, I know this is a work. I know I don't want to hear it, but on Brock Lesnar's face, it almost looked like, oh crap. He actually, I don't even know if maybe he wasn't supposed to go out that soon. He might've been, how do I say this? He might have
been eliminated a few minutes too soon.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe a little too soon. Well, because just because of the simple fact, I get it, you know, whatever. He flipped his lid, but then when the referees came out to kind of calm him down, he took one referee and just basically choked him until he went over the guardrail.
Uh-huh.
And yep. then when he was walking, I've just never seen a talent like that, like a Brock Lesnar, go out of the arena as through the crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like it almost kinda, like that maybe wasn't supposed to happen.
It almost added maybe a little mystique to it. I don't know. Maybe they played it off that way. He did have that look on his face like, holy crap. And you kind of wonder like how many times, I mean, we all know about Vince blowing his quads out, being pissed off about the John Cena Batista ending. But other than that, like, you know, I'm sure guys get eliminated on accident throughout it that maybe weren't going to win, but maybe we're supposed to be in there longer. But you can kind of brush over it, right? Because everybody's looking at who the final person is. So, in the grand scheme of things, I think, you know, Lesnar getting eliminated so early will be forgotten. But the surprise was, what is he doing here so early? I mean, we knew he wasn't going to last until 30, right? So it was just a matter of time. But that was rather quick.
Oh, yeah.
I think Michael Cole or Corey Graves, one of them two, they said it was like 3 minutes, just over 3 minutes he was in the Rumble.
That sounds right. Yeah, I remember that being said. It kind of reminded me of... Now, this is a different scenario because Brock was dominating the Rumble. He was in there for a long time. He took out half the field. And then Drew McIntyre came in and just cleaned house with Brock Lesnar a year or two ago, if you guys remember that Rumble. It kind of reminded me of that where someone came in and just Brock was gone as soon as they walked in the ring.
As soon as Brock walked in the ring?
No, as soon as Lashley walked in the ring. It reminded me of when Drew McIntyre took out Brock Lesnar a couple years ago.
Yes, yes, yep,
after
yep, yep.
Dominating the entire field.
Yep, yep. Want to take a second here, make sure, thank you guys for liking, subscribing, finding us here on YouTube. I know we're live also. Where else are we live at, CZ, besides YouTube here tonight recording this? We're talking
Twitch
Royal
and
Rumble.
Twitter.
Twitch and Twitter. Oh, Twitch and Twitter. Those would be like a good cat and mouse cartoon, wouldn't it?
It really would.
That, you know,
and for those of you listening, if you want to join the conversation, we're also on Discord. I know DJ is on there. We've got a couple of other people who are talking, but we love to hear from our fans. So
yes, absolutely. We want to hear about what you thought about the Men's Rumble among the other matches at the show. As we continue the Men's Rumble here.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step over there.
Go ahead, Stripes.
And if anybody out there listening is any good with the Discord, I was the one that set it up, and I still do not know the ins and outs of Discord. So if anybody wants to give me tips, tricks, or you know, anything, any news is good news. Any help is good help. So if you guys can, you know,
calling all Discord efforts, Stripes need your help. The show needs your help. I wish I could tell you what I knew about it, but I have no idea what Discord is. So that tells you I need to get up to speed with technology and the current stuff. But I think it's like some chat room, isn't it? I don't know.
Yes,
it's kind of like a message board chat room kind of deal. Yeah,
I'm aging myself. You know, Gunther with a strong showing, of course. Drew and Sheamus teaming up and kind of formed an alliance, even though it's every man for himself. Mm. I'm trying
of
to think
the
after
big what. Story. I got to talk about the Judgment Day. First of all, Rey Mysterio not making it to the Rumble. Apparently, he was injured on SmackDown the night before. But his son, the way they're playing it off, Dominic took him out backstage. So this was only a 29-man Rumble. I feel a little slighted by that.
CZ, can I add a little something to what you just said about the injury?
Yeah, go ahead.
I read this morning the injury happened on Friday night SmackDown. And it was Karrion Kross who injured Rey. Kross is in a lot of hot water right now.
That's
the reason he was in so early and not in very long. They are very upset with him. He's in hot water because they don't know if Rey is going to be able to be at Mania.
Yep. Speaking of hot water, before we get this going here, in the Facebook comments, my wife actually she reminded me that she was the one that called Cody Rhodes winning the Rumble. I know we all had different answers. Sammy was an answer, and somebody else was an answer, but I've got to give credit where credit is due. My wife she called Cody Rhodes winning the whole thing.
She did call it.
Nico Klein, if you're listening. Your pockets are not getting lighter because Nick's prediction did not come true.
Didn't come true, but man, if it was, I was just wanting to, just to see the look on Nico's face when he had to give me money and a t-shirt. I mean, whatever. I wish WWE would have known that bet was going on, and then probably would have made it happen, right? Yeah, right. Insert eye roll here. But no, Cody, I'll tell you what. I'm glad Cody won. I don't have a problem with Cody winning. Here's my problem. You have them come in at 30.
They kind of took the cheap way out on that. They
took the major cheap way out. Who was the big surprise? Logan Paul, was that the surprise entrant of the Rumble?
Booker T.
I want to say Booker T. I think that was my surprise. Booker T music.
Edge, we knew Edge would probably be back injury and be back in that Judgment Day storyline. Booker T was a surprise, but like, was our quote unquote major surprise supposed to be Logan Paul? I don't know.
And
let's talk about Logan Paul.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about Logan Paul.
I was so angry last night. This almost ruined the whole show for me. And in hindsight, I calmed down.
I had to calm you down.
I'm happy, but. Logan Paul eliminating Seth Rollins.
Whoa, that was a bad call.
With that,
So I was angry at that. And then when I thought about it, and my son kind of said it right as I was thinking it, so I kind of calmed myself down. What if they're building up to a Seth Rollins and Logan Paul at Mania? Because right now, Seth Rollins, he really doesn't have anywhere to go for Mania, because it's looking like Cody Rhodes is going to, you know, face Roman for the title. And Seth just has no one to work.
And shortly after that happened, that was my thought process. Here's my counter to that. Seth Rollins deserves more than Logan Paul at WrestleMania. That is my – I'm going to stand by that until the day that I die.
Okay, when you say he deserves more, what do you mean by that? I know what you mean by that, but Stripes might not know what you mean by that. The audience not know what you mean.
Okay.
I know what he means.
Oh,
I'll go ahead and let him explain himself.
Let me make a comparison to you here. Seth Rollins went out on a ledge and he called CM Punk a cancer, told him not to come back. I compare Rollins to CM Punk in this aspect. Neither one of them have had a main event match at WrestleMania. No one deserves it more than Seth Rollins. Put him in the main event at WrestleMania yesterday.
So I'm going to agree to disagree with you on that. I'm going to agree and disagree. And here's why I say that. Because if you go back and look at the Logan Paul matches that he's had, you've got the help me out, Nick. You probably
he teamed with Miz.
Yep. And then he wrestled the Miz.
Yep, and then he wrestled the Miz. And then he wrestled Roman Reigns over at Crown Jewel.
Oh, exactly. That was his last one, right?
It was the last time we've seen him, yep. Or that was the last time we've seen him until last night. Last night was his quote-unquote fourth match.
So if you go back to those three matches, and I know you're probably thinking, oh, the expectations weren't that high. You know, he's not really... you know, that well trained, but he blew everybody out of the water. And in each one of those matches, he got better as the progression went. First, the first match he had with Miz, the tag team match, he was good. And then when he did go against the Miz, even better. And the match that he had with Roman, I think that was probably the best out of the three. And if you go by that step ladder, He's just only going to get better. That's what I'm looking at.
I don't want to
discredit Logan Paul's in-ring ability. He has done a phenomenal job coming up into the wrestling world. His matches have been way above expectations. But my opinion is that Seth Rollins needs to be higher on the card than Logan Paul. He needs to be with Roman. He needs to take the title off of Roman. I'm not discrediting Cody's win.
It looks like
they're building towards Cody winning the title at Mania. Maybe that won't happen, but Seth Rollins needs to be in the title picture at WrestleMania in the main event, in my opinion.
Maybe he will be.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
I see where you're coming from. Here's how I view it. If he can't be in the title match, this is the next best thing for him, because everybody in the world is going to know about Logan Paul and his match at WrestleMania.
Exactly. And it's about
WrestleMania moments. Eyes on Seth Rollins that don't know who Seth Rollins is or was, more eyes on the WWE product. It's almost a living, breathing commercial for the next 3 months. And you know, I want Seth Rollins in the title picture too. I think Seth Rollins is one of the, you know, two or three guys that needs to be the one to take the title off of Roman. If that's not the plan right now, this is the next best thing, CZ. I hate to say it. It's the next best thing for him, because Seth Rollins is going to be shoved out in the public eye. And that match is going to be phenomenal. Look who Logan Paul's working with. That match is going to be, it'll be the show stealer of WrestleMania. I'm going to just say it right now. If that's where they're going. Maybe it's not. Maybe maybe both those guys are going to be in Elimination Chamber and start out the match together. I don't know, but if they're going that way for WrestleMania, I'm all for it.
And I can concede that point. I still stand by where I stand, but
absolutely.
I can concede your
and
point.
You know what? I respect your opinion. I see it as everybody looks at the making those WrestleMania moments, and I think that's going to be a WrestleMania moment just for Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. It's going to be one of those kind of Shane McMahon-esque moments. You know what I mean? Because okay, that's what you look at.
I would love to have Seth, and maybe he's still going to be there in the main event. But
we can hope, but you know, I'll concede your point, guys.
But I'll tell you what, I can make the argument. I don't think Cody needs the belt this year. I think he could win it next year at Mania, and it might be a better story. But for that, do you want say Rollins is added and that's a triple threat match, CZ? Do you want that?
That's a tough call.
Because I don't know. I do not want a triple threat match at Mania. We had it a couple years ago with Roman and Edge and at the time Daniel Bryan. I would rather be a one-on-one match.
It's too gimmicky, I think. I saw, you know, when Seth won it the first time he won the world title, you know, it was technically a one-on-one between Brock and Roman. And then it got made into a triple threat by cashing in the Money in the Bank. So it kind of would be a callback to that. But then again, I just think it's lazy booking when you go to a triple threat or
any
kind of that gimmicky match. You know, it's just like, hey, let's just throw this guy in there just because.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
I can agree with that. But, you know, we got to talk about the winner of the Rumble to wrap up our talk about the men's Rumble, and that is Cody Rhodes. He was going into it the odds on favorite. That was where everybody was hyping it up. I don't think anyone expected it to end any differently with Cody Rhodes getting that win in the Rumble. However, right. I don't think anybody expected it to be Gunther and Cody ending the Rumble with Gunther coming in at number one. Has that ever happened before where the number one entrant and the number 30 entrant were the last two competitors in the ring?
Ooh, that is a good question. I'm going to have to do some research on that.
I don't think it has either. I don't think it has. Gunther, with an amazing performance last night. You know, Corey Graves talked about the cardio in LA coming up. Gunther looked amazing. I was going to ask you guys here, what was your favorite part of the men's Rumble and least favorite part of the men's Rumble?
Well, I think you know my least favorite part already. I've already talked about it.
Yeah.
I got to give a shout out to seeing Spinneroonia, Royal Rumble Spinneroonia.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. That was cool.
You know, I always love Booker T coming back and getting that Spinneroonia, and that always brings a smile to my face.
It was a good match. There wasn't even the low spots were somewhat entertaining. I just thought they pulled off a really good performance. The match was good. My biggest complaint at the time was, why wasn't there any Bloodline involved? You know, at the time, like, where's Sammy? Where's Solo? Where are the the Usos? You know, that at the time it was a head scratcher. Of course, now we know that it worked out just fine. At the time, I'm like, those guys weren't even in the room.
Yeah, it was kind of a head scratcher why, you know, you didn't have any of the Bloodline, any of, you know, that type of Sami Zayn. I just think maybe it would have taken away from that main event between Roman and Kevin. But yeah, I mean, definitely top of the line with Booker T coming out doing the spin-a-rooney, bringing it back old school. I would say bottom of the night. You guys know where I'm going with this. Baron right. Corbin. I could have dealt with without Baron Corbin, and we could have had, you know, someone else. I mean, why wasn't Dolph Ziggler in it? I'm not going to try to start a, you know, sidebar here, but that could have been a Dolph Ziggler. I read somewhere that he has had nine straight Royal Rumbles, and they broke the that streak. But I'm not. I'm not gonna get off on a tangent there. But that's my low point. Baron Corbin.
I got you. CZ.
Yeah. Well, I've already talked about my highs and lows there. So gotcha. What about you, Nick?
No, but Dolph Ziggler. They mentioned Dolph Ziggler about his number of eliminations and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's a head scratcher. No NXT guys. I thought maybe an NXT guy would get dropped in there or two, and then is Tommaso Ciampa, is he injured?
I think he's still injured. Yes,
I believe okay. He is. He's on the mend, I believe.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. That's another guy. I wrote down notes last night. Guys that I didn't see in the Rumble that have, on the roster, haven't heard from in a while.
And there's a number of guys that have been on the injured list. We could go on forever and talk about this, but
we just made history here on the show. We're going to throw it to break here. We just went 37 minutes in our first segment there, guys. covering the men's Rumble. We're going
to
go
still to got break. A whole bunch of Royal Rumble to go.
We do. We're going to come back and go through that Pitch Black match, the Women's Rumble match, among others, before we get to the main event. You're listening here to Cards Up Exchange, along with the Wizard CZ, Stripes Chris Angle. I am the Honorable One, Nick Bull. We're going to toss it here to a word from our podcast brethren.
Be sure to join our podcast brethren, Joe the Show Winkle, every Sunday and Wednesday night, for all the insight you can handle during the playoffs. Tune in to the Educated Ignorance Podcast, part of the Four Frequencies Sake Podcast Network. You're listening to the self-proclaimed six-man podcasting champions, Cards Subject to Change, with CZ, Nick Bull, and Chris Stripes Angle.
Well, it won't be too long that we'll be done talking about football in the playoffs. I know Joe is planning going and transitioning into the NBA after the football season is over, but that's coming up down the road. You're listening to Card Subject to Change on the Four Frequencies Sake Podcast Network. We're talking about the 2023 Royal Rumble, and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I feel like we're going to spend just as much time on this match as we did the men's Rumble. Let's talk about the Pitch Black match.
Do I sense of hint of sarcasm in your voice?
Maybe just a little. Man.
Guys, let's play word association. Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. I'm going to go Cosmic Bowling Drunk Fight.
Yes.
I don't know that I can top that.
I can't top it either. That's number one. I mean, I just want to say. Yeah, I think we were, and no one turned on the music.
I just got to say, passed out the illicit substances for sure.
They did. And what was up with all the yellow dots that came out from the announcer's table? I mean, I don't know if I couldn't tell if that was popcorn or if it's
confetti.
Confetti. Okay,
it has to be confetti.
I don't
I like the concept. I thought they tried something different. Don't go back to it. Don't do it again.
I mean, I can't complain to them trying something new and different.
It was kind of unique at first. The coolest part to me was the paint on Bray Wyatt's face.
Right. Yep.
And how it changed with the light. I seen the Roman numeral 6 on the side of his head. That's obviously maybe the Wyatt 6. That stood out to me. I thought that was really cool visually. It was appeasing. You get the match wasn't long, which it moved the show along fine. Just the stuff that happened afterwards, the extracurriculars afterwards, and kind of almost a Fox spot kind of leave you scratching your head like, okay,
So I don't think
is that what we wanted? I don't know. As a fan, I don't know. For me, it was the perfect placement after the Men's Rumble match, and I didn't have a vested interest in it. But if you're a fan of one of these two, Bray Wyatt, LA Knight, kind of a throwaway 5-minute match, is it not? Or do you think it furthers the storyline?
I don't know that it furthers the storyline. I think it was a bit of a throwaway.
I don't think it is. I think it's a throwaway. And I think it was definitely the end of them two in their little stint.
And after the match, you know, there's a video out there that shows Uncle Howdy coming off of that girder, that rafter, or whatever he was standing on from a different angle, and he clearly did not hit LA Knight on the way down. A lot of people are calling that a big botch, but it was just weird all around. Everything was just – it was weird all around.
The way Uncle Howdy fell on that spot, it kind of reminded me of Shane McMahon, even though I know Uncle Howdy's not Shane McMahon. Uncle Howdy fall, I immediately thought of Shane McMahon. I'm not saying that's who it is, but that's who I thought of as he fell onto that. I'm going to contradict you, Stripes. I know how you think this is over. I don't think this is over. I think LA Knight is going to be linked now to Bray Wyatt somehow after this match, after he burn up, quote unquote, in that fire. Maybe we see, you know, LA Knight, you know, come back with a mask on or something.
He's part of the one of the Wyatt Six members.
Maybe part of it now. Yeah, I don't know, man. I really like the LA Knight, and I hope they don't waste him. And I like that he's getting profiled here in this match. I wish the match maybe didn't have the gimmick, but it's free advertisement. So the fact that it was a gimmick, it wasn't that bad a match since it didn't last long. I would have liked to have seen a full on match without the gimmick and maybe more time for these two.
I can agree.
So. If you actually go back and kind of rewatch the whole Uncle Howdy jump off the, you know, stage dive.
Yeah.
And if you look at it from the fan's perspective, yes, it looks like a botch. But if you go back and actually kind of step back and look at it as a fan, when they recorded it, when they put it on TV, it wasn't looked at as a botch. It looked like he almost did an elbow drop / coffin drop from that big platform there. So, I mean, from the perspective of the pay-per-view standpoint, it looked okay. But from the fans' perspective, you're just like, what in the world was that?
Did you say coffin drop?
I did say coffin drop. It kind of reminded me of a coffin drop.
It did. Did you think Darby was at the building last night?
I do know of an AEW member that was at the Royal Rumble last night.
So do I. That's why I said that. We can touch on that maybe a little bit later or talk about that. I don't know how that's viewed within the industry. I don't know if Tony Khan, if that chap Tony Khan, when AEW talent's backstage at WWE. But these guys are all friends.
Yeah.
So we're talking, of course, Stripes, I think you're alluding to that Ricky Starks was backstage last night at Royal Rumble in support of his friend Cody Rhodes. And there's a picture floating around out there now. When you said coffin drop, I'm like, well, I know Ricky Starks was there. Was Darby Allin there too? But no, Darby Allin was not there as far as we know.
No.
And maybe that goes to prove that The Rock is actually Ricky Starks. Or is Ricky Starks actually The Rock?
Have they both been seen in the same place at the same time?
I've never seen it.
Until we know for sure, I'm going to believe. Well, we got through the blackout match or the pitch black match.
Yeah, I think we're good on that.
Are we good with that? So we get all the neon, wipe the slate clean for the neon, clean up the neon confetti and the neon paint that was on the kendo stick.
Let's throw out the imaginary balls from the rave.
Does this bring us to the Women's Rumble?
Not yet. We've got the women's title.
Oh, this is the Women's Championship. Women's title match. I'm sorry.
Which, this is another match that I was just like, okay, it's there. It happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it wasn't a bad match. Like,
No, but not by any means.
It was just there. It was kind of overshadowed by the whole... kind of ordeal. You know, if you had this match on any other premium live event, then it would probably be, you know, probably semi-main. Maybe, you know, opening, maybe, dare I say, opening the show.
I'm gonna throw a good, you know, someone told me last night this probably would have been like a good main event on SmackDown.
You are right there with me, Nick. I was
That's not a knock. It's just with the rest of these matches on this show, this one just kind of naturally got lost in the shuffle, in my opinion. Right. Bianca Belair is the biggest female star they have right now. Charlotte may be the most accomplished, but right now Bianca is the biggest female star they have. And this thing with Alexa Bliss and the Uncle Howdy, you didn't know the allure was there when Uncle Howdy flip a switch during the match and make Alexa Bliss psycho and somehow pull off an upset. That was kind of why you watched this match. I think everybody felt Bianca was going to retain some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
I don't think there was no doubt in my mind that Bianca was losing the title. Do I wish that there was some sort of other Bray Wyatt kind of involvement in this match? Yeah, I kind of do. But
I mean, you had that thing post match. Is that what you mean?
Post match, post.
After Bianca wins, retained, Alexa's in the ring, and I believe that's Uncle Howdy who comes on the Titantron, the video.
Oh yeah,
but
wasn't that video that video was played once before, wasn't it?
No, it was after the match.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. Now as you recall it, wasn't that was kind of a video that was
before. Something similar, yes.
Yeah, so maybe I guess if we had something new to add to that storyline, that's kind of where I'm going. It was basically just Alexa staring up at the screen like.
Yeah. I wrote down, Wyatt family gains two members, ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
L.A., and Alexa,
I think you're correct.
They both lost on a giant platform. There's, you know, hints of involvement there with Bray and Uncle Howdy. Maybe now this storyline picks up some speed as we head toward WrestleMania. This has been the storyline that's been sitting there grinding its gears, right? Waiting to get some traction. Yep. Now we think we have some pot. I mean, we knew the players before. Kind of took a bigger step last night with Bray beating LA Knight soundly and Alexa, you know, getting beat clean by Bianca and then having that quote unquote emotional breakdown afterwards or crying in the ring. Keep an eye on that one. You guys have anything more else to add with the women's title match?
No, well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Nick. It could have been, especially with as long as the show was, this could have been the main event on Raw instead of on the pay-per-view.
Yep. Match didn't go too long, if I'm not mistaken. CZ, I don't have the official numbers. I want to think it went 7-8 minutes. It wasn't any more than that.
I don't think it was over 10. Yeah.
No, I don't think so either.
After that, we did have a commercial from Applebee's by none other than Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. If you guys remember that, I don't know if it was. I thought it was memorable to me.
I thought it was fun.
Just because I sat there and I was like, oh, they're at the West Kimberly Applebee's, maybe Elmore having dinner. Elmore. I think they'd be an Elmore type of.
They're booking in your head with Applebee's. you are a wrestling fan, yes.
Yes, I was.
My youngest asked me why are his nipples showing with that shirt, Dad? I don't know, but I think he's supposed to have that shirt.
I don't know what it is. My son said the same thing. He's like, why is he wearing that shirt out to dinner? And I'm like, you know what? That's Seth Rollins.
Because he's got drip, man.
So he's got drip.
Was it West Kimberly or was it Elmore? Which one do you think?
Ooh. So the shirt looks like a West Kimberly shirt, but I think
I'm going to make this argument. I think he got that shirt at Gordman's over on John Deere Road in Moline before it broke. And I'm going to go with the Applebee's on John Deere Road in Moline.
Yes.
That's how I'm booking it.
You know what? Let's go with that. Let's go with the Illinois side.
Dude, I am such a loser. We were booking where Seth Rollins, what Applebee's he is in his commercial, if you're just tuning in here.
Amazing.
Kimberly and Elmore and John Deere Road might be the one, the new commercial with he and the man, Becky Lynch. But we digress here. I do love that commercial. It's funny. Hey, they're better commercials than when Natalya's on those things, overacting, correct?
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Yeah.
Remember the commercial with her? It was her and Dolph. It was her and Dolph and like Cesaro and Sheamus, and it was awful. She's like, "Oh, you guys, keep it down over there." And it was just so stupid. I'm sorry, I had to unload on that.
I just want to throw out there, Seth Rollins, if you're listening, I know you follow your Wrestle Kids around a lot, but make sure they're still doing okay. So, don't know if you listen to any of our interviews or you listen to the podcast, but if you want to clarify which Applebee's, we'd be happy to have you on the show just to talk about that.
Most definitely. Nothing else about wrestling. Just
yeah.
Applebee's. We just
straight up Applebee's.
We have Seth freaking Rollins, and we're going to talk about Applebee's and what you wear to it.
Oh, man. free podcast for Applebee's.
And as bonus content, we're going to talk about what you ordered at Applebee's too.
Yep.
Yes.
God.
I think that's going to bring us. Yeah, we're going to bring that into the Women's Royal Rumble here. As I got it on, I fast forwarded it. I'm going to. Well, let's start recapping it here.
anyone surprised by the women's winner? She was my pick to win. I know I got my pick on the men's wrong, but I thought it was a no-brainer for her to win. I thought now's the time to push her on to Mania, win or lose. She's still going to be fine. But it was hers to lose, and she shined in this.
And she is now a made woman.
Oh, that,
because
yeah.
One, she is part of the exclusive club, one of four superstars.
Yep, one of four.
To go bell to bell in the Rumble.
And you know, I kind of had a toss up between, I was going to say Rhea or do they go one more time with Liv? Maybe I think maybe the Liv train is done, maybe, but this definitely might have gave her the steam maybe to get over that hump. But I guess WWE didn't want to, you know, put the rocket to Liv again.
I like Liv Morgan a lot. I
so
think
do
she's
I.
a good wrestler. However, I don't want her crammed down our throat for a second time. They did it with Roman before the Tribal Chief gimmick. They did it with Liv. They did it with John Cena. I don't like when they force feed us wrestlers.
But do you really think that would have been a force feed? I mean, I don't know.
I know what you're saying, CZ, when they were trying to force feed Liv Morgan. Okay. Yes, we're talking about pro wrestling here. You do have to suspend disbelief at some point. But when she's beating Ronda Rousey, I think WWE lost fans on that. And then the fact that she just went, you know, on this run where she was winning all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, they lost it when they lost me when she beat Rousey.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
There's no way.
I'm right on board with you, Nick, 100%.
Okay.
Let's talk about highlights of the Women's Rumble. I thought it was a solid event. Gotta ask you guys, we had a surprise appearance from Chelsea Green. So she was in and out of the Rumble in record time, but I don't want to focus on her. I want to ask you, since she was there, was Matt Cardona backstage?
I almost thought he was actually going to be the 30th competitor in the Men's Rumble, because I knew Chelsea Green was going to be called pretty soon. They just were waiting on creative to have something for her.
Yeah.
I really thought that, you know, we would have heard, you know, Zack Ryder's song, and then all of a sudden you hear a kind of a Miz record scratch, and I don't know what Cardona's theme music is now on the indies, but play that up. He comes out super healing it up.
Cardona. Yeah, maybe. I would love for Cardona to come back to the WWE, but we're getting on a sidebar. I just wanted to ask that because I know Chelsea Green was there, but so obviously, much like the Men's Rumble, you had the faction domination for a part of the Rumble here with Damage Control.
Yep.
Of course, I'm referring to Judgment Day and the Men's Rumble. We didn't really touch on that.
And speaking of, I've, like I said, Bailey coming out and just skipping down the aisle and grabs somebody's sign, old school, and just tears it. I love when heel does that. Just because it's so random, and the fan is probably, depending on the fan, the fan might be like, oh, they ripped my sign. But more, you know, fans nowadays are like, oh, cool, you know, they involved me. I just find that really cool.
Fellas, I hope we're going for Bailey Becky at WrestleMania. If neither one of them are in the title hunt, that's my caveat there. If neither one of them are in the title hunt, let's have these two, okay? Because I think Bianca's dropping the belt and going after Charlotte. And I think she's going to drop it at Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
Really?
I do. I think we're going to have Charlotte Bianca at WrestleMania.
So who does Bianca drop it to, though? That's the question.
Liv Morgan.
That's who Rhea's gonna chase.
I would. That's tough because
I don't. Yeah. Okay,
you can't really put the belt on Bailey if you want to have her and Becky.
No.
Does she drop it to Alexa? Do they have another match?
I don't know.
But then you've got two heels going against each other.
I love, you know, the Bailey Becky match got push for time on Raw 30. So they kind of picked it up here with Damage Control, you know, eliminating Becky.
Yeah.
We haven't had Bailey Becky at a high level yet, and I think we're going to get it, and we're going to be better for it.
I completely agree. And that was one of the high spots of the Women's Rumble for me, was the interaction between Bailey and Becky and Damage Control. I thought that was really well put together. The whole thing, this whole show was really well put together with few exceptions. What do we think about Nia Jax coming back?
Oh, God. Oh, man. Why did you have to mention that? Can I first say, so she not only came back in the Rumble, but they botched her entrance Nia Jax style. That was just perfect. That was great. I don't know who I hate worse, Nia Jax or Baron Corbin. I honestly could not tell you for the life of me, deep within the cockles of my heart, I couldn't tell you who I hate worse. I think I want to say Nia Jax, but
Nia Jax, God. Over who? Over who?
Baron Corbin.
Over Baron freaking Corbin, of course.
God, dude, we found you had your dream mixed tag match now. You had your dream mixed tag team.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me, right?
If I had the capabilities of putting Baron Corbin and Nia Jax on a t-shirt, I would. And I'd freaking make a million of them for you.
God. And we'd then I would burn them all week in one big dumpster fire. Jesus, that would keep me warm at night.
So I loved the way the Women's Rumble ended. I Asuka, Liv, and Rhea with who was in the Rumble and how things played out.
Right.
And them ending it on the apron. I don't think you could have scripted a better end to the Rumble.
I don't think you could have either. I love Asuka is back now, and not the giggly Asuka, but the Asuka that's more of like an assassin and a killer.
I hope they keep it. I hope they keep it like that. Just for the simple fact is, I think Asuka, she doesn't necessarily need a character overhaul, but it would benefit her in the long run. I think.
Yes,
because
I totally agree.
She's not getting old. You know what I mean? It's not like nobody's tired of seeing Asuka. We love the Asuka coming for you. What did she just say?
What?
And I apologize if I offended any of our Asian speaking listeners, but that's just what I hear, and I find it amusing. Just for the simple fact is, you just hear whatever she says in Japanese or Chinese. Not sure of the dialect, but
Japanese.
Okay, Japanese, and then she says something just completely out of nowhere. That's English. I find it amusing. That's just
me. I agree, but I loved Asuka's face paint.
It was awesome.
I thought it was very well done. She looked amazing. Future X Mrs. Zach right there. What? I'm sorry.
What?
What? I didn't say anything.
We're going to talk about your future ex-wife here in the next segment.
No.
Oh yeah, we are. We have. You have any closing thoughts, CZ, or Stripes on the Women's Rumble?
No.
It exceeded my expectations. Loved it.
I want to say I thought the Women's Rumble was a little bit more entertaining than the Men's Rumble, just for the simple fact is there was a little bit more, you know, surprises. I mean, we didn't even touch on Doudrop coming back with the name Piper Niven, which I love, just for the simple fact when she came out and they called her Doudrop. Come on. What are you serious?
Yeah, like, I'm glad she got her old NXT UK name back. I'm glad we're seeing some justification for some of Vince's harsh knee-jerk reactions to the firing.
Yes.
But no, I thought the Women's Rumble was great. I really did.
No, I agree.
The ending with those three. We're going to take it one quick more break here. Then we're going to come back and wrap up, try to talk about the biggest match of the night. And CZ, our roving reporter, Stagger CZ Marshall, he's going to give us his report about his trip to the Impact tapings down in Florida. And we'll touch on that after the break here on Card Subject to Change.
Card Subject to Change is looking for dedicated sponsors. If you or your business would like to join the Card Subject to Change podcast, hit us up at our official podcast email, cstcpodcast2022@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the Card Subject to Change podcast, talking about everything Royal Rumble 2023. Gentlemen, we have reached the shank of the evening, as Mean Gene Okerlund would say. The main event, the reigning,
undisputed. Oh, I seen what he did there. Ooh. Hey, did you stay up all night writing that?
Hey, that I took that one from Paul Heyman.
He stole it from Paul Heyman.
I took that from
I'm going to call him out on that one.
Dude, Paulie Dangerous Alliance is going to be knocking on your door right now.
But no, we're at the main event. We've got Roman Reigns taking on KO, defending his undisputed World Heavyweight Championship. And I thought the match was good, but I thought I think the real story is what happened after.
Yeah. We can go break down the match hold for hold or whatnot, but everybody for, I think, what happened at the end of the match and post-show. First thing I noticed, though, when Roman Reigns comes out, he has his tribal council, Paul Heyman, and he's got Sami Zayn. No other member of the Bloodline with Stripes.
Nope. Nobody.
I can explain that.
Okay.
So I watched the kickoff show, and they had a segment on the kickoff where Roman Reigns said, "Hey, Twins, Solo, you stay back here. Sammy, you are at my hip the entire night."
Well, I wish they would have referenced that as they came to the ring, because I didn't get to see the pre-show, but I'm glad that you did and were able to sit here and correct me. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
and it was
I wish they would have too.
It was kind of odd though that Roman just had Sammy out there and not the other members of the Bloodline. You know, it was definitely a foreshadowing of what came, you know, after the match, post match. But can I say that the entire Bloodline deserves to be nominated for like an Emmy or a Tony Award or something? This probably has to be the best storyline that's came out of WWE in quite a bit. I mean, just the sheer, you know, going up with it. It didn't happen overnight, mind you.
No.
Very slow burn, but it wasn't a slow enough burn for people to lose interest. It was a slow enough burn where people was like, "We want to see what happens next."
I told CZ this. We were talking on the phone this morning. I said, "I don't know if this is the best thing that's ever been written by WWE, but it is in some time." I said, "At the end of that match last night, you had six guys in a ring, and nobody was fighting over a girl. They weren't fighting over a woman. I mean, this was all trying to be part of the cool group and turning your back on your friends and being in too deep and like having to cross back over and go back to the life that you were living and rehash the mistakes. You know, this was beautiful." I just want to share a couple of my favorite moments. Can we just talk about the beatdown? I really don't need to talk about the match here. The match is good if you want to talk about the match. But, Stripes, have you seen Django Unchained?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I really haven't kind of sat down.
It's a wasted reference, but I just loved when Sammy hit Roman. And he turns the J. The guy who hated him from day one, who was now his best friend, and he's like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry," you know, and then knows that he's going to get stomped. I loved that. That just a little touch like that. The other thing I love, go back and watch Roman. Roman is in hysterics.
Yeah.
As he is getting killed, as he's saying, "Kill him." As Sammy's getting beat down, Roman's on his knees screaming, "I gave you the world. I gave you the world." Like, that was great. It was perfect. I can't wait for Monday night. Or do they make us wait? Or do they make us wait till SmackDown with the Reigns thing?
Oh, they're gonna
might make us wait. Yeah, they're gonna.
Oh,
wait
they're gonna make SmackDown. Us wait.
My gosh.
The icing on the cake for me: Jey Uso walking out and saying, "I'm done."
And see, that's the thing that I find the most intriguing part of this whole kind of kit and caboodle. I'm going to say this real quick, guys, and then I'm going to have to jump off here and let you guys do the impact. And you guys are going to kill it. But that's the one thing that I find is most intriguing, because Jay was the one man that took the longest to kind of bring Sammy in and bring him as one of their own in the Bloodline. And then he was the first to say, "Nah, that ain't cool. I'm out," you know, and he took to Twitter and he took to Instagram today and posted a picture of himself. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm out. I'm not feeling it." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that tells you right there that this for sure is not the end of this story. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are not done with the Bloodline. Roman's not done with Sammy. Jimmy's not done with Jay. Jimmy and Jay, that's a whole nother dynamic. What happens with the tag titles?
The tag champ.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, guys, I'm going to jet off here. I do want to – I don't want to get on another tangent, but I do want to thank you guys for everything. We could definitely talk about the Royal Rumble more and more and more later on. We definitely will. I will see you guys next week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Stripes. Have a good night.
That is the ever-busy Chris Stripes Angle. He is tending to some family things here. Everything's good. We're going to continue to talk here in CZ. And I think as we talk about the beatdown here and we wrap up this Royal Rumble talk, I think everybody kind of thought they were going to hear that music and The Rock come out.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you don't need The Rock for this storyline. Maybe at some point you do, but we're not to that point yet. And I am glad that he wasn't there last night. He didn't show up. I'm now glad, looking back at it, that Stone Cold didn't show up. Look how good this show was, and we were expecting those people to show up, and they didn't. And we've still got a great show.
Yeah. We got an amazing show, and we didn't need the star power of the Attitude Era to right. pull it off. I think it all around was excellent.
I loved it. I loved everything about this. I know the first thing I'm going to watch after we wrap up production here in our production meeting is I'm going to go back and watch the main event. I want to watch everything from start to finish of the men's match and then the beatdown. And then be ready for, you know, for Monday night.
Yeah.
Monday Raw would be a good time. But do you have any closing thoughts on Rumble here before we check in with the 1-800-CALL ATT report?
just that this was they made this show very well. They did very well job. Bah, bah, bah. You guys will have to forgive me. I'm a little under the weather today. Nick's gonna go watch the men's main event. I'm gonna go to bed as soon as we're done. But no, I think the show was very well put together. I don't know. There's nothing else I can add. I think this was a great show.
It was. So you have been our roving intrepid reporter, and you are currently in our nation's southeast, and you were able to partake in some Impact tapings last week. Talk about the experience and how you came about that, CZ.
So I just happened to see that there were Impact tapings here. I was in the Orlando area. I'm trying to think where. I've been down here for about 4 or 5 weeks now, and cities are kind of blurring together. Right now I'm in Fort Myers. I was in, like I said, the Orlando area. Kissimmee is where the Impact tapings were. I just happened to see that there were a couple of shows and was able to go out. I thought it was a great time. Got to see people that I haven't seen live before. Most excited about Kushida. I had been a fan of him when he came into NXT. Still a fan of him. He's fantastic. And if you follow my Facebook page, I did post a picture of him jumping over the rope onto Chris Bay, who is part of the Bullet Club. I got to introduce myself after the fact via Twitter to Zicky Dice. If you guys don't know who that is, he is a former Black and Brave graduate and on Merrick Brave's short list of people to watch. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see him wrestle, but what him and Johnny Swinger are doing, it's a fun little gimmick there. Give me 1 second here. Sorry about that. Had to hit the cough button. No, it was overall, and they taped 4 shows. I believe the first one airs this week. It's their build to No Surrender. A lot of fun. I got to meet Mickie James. Been a big fan of hers since she came into the WWE.
And how was that?
It was short, but it was worth it. It was very good. She was very friendly. She had the title belt. I got a picture of that posted on Facebook as well. She was very nice. You know, I said, you know, I've been a fan of yours since you came into the business. She said, oh, thank you. That means the world to me. Yeah, it was an awesome experience overall. I was really – so Sit was a lot of fun. I'll tell you a couple of my highlights on there. Seeing the Motor City Machine Guns. Nick, I know that's something you're jealous about.
Absolutely.
Because of your tag team affliction.
Yeah.
Affliction. That's not the right word. but I affection. Saw them perform.
Affection.
Yes,
my, affection. My tag team affection.
You're not afflicted by tag teams. You're
hey, it's late. It's late. It's okay.
But no, seeing them was awesome. They are a fantastic tag team. I got to see Mickey perform. I got to see Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer, I'm sorry. You look like you're 92 years old. which I feel bad saying. He's still in ring shape, but man, he just looks a lot older than he is. So going back to, you know, I talked about Zicky Dice and Johnny Swinger. Their current shtick right now, Impact Wrestling is going to give Johnny Swinger a title match if he can win 50 matches, 5-0. And one of the nights that they were taping for the Impact show came out, and Zicky said, "Hey, I've got the perfect opponent for you. There's no way you can lose." And wrestling, I guess, legend, for lack of a better term, Barry Horowitz comes out. And just when you think Johnny Swinger has the match in hand, he gets distracted by the Kiss Demon. And Barry Horowitz gets the win over Zicky Dice. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember you talking to me, telling me about that and how funny you thought that was, and sending me the pictures. And if you guys haven't seen those pictures, head over to the Facebook page at Card Subject Change Podcast. CZ's got some great pics. Kokshida in his front lap, pretty much on the railing. His picture with Mickey James. You got some great action shots. You had great tickets. I believe you were second row. You were first row the first night and second row the second night. Correct, CZ?
Correct. Obviously, another highlight was seeing Matt Cardona. Funny story there. So he was facing the current digital media champion, and I can't think of his name for the life of me.
Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry, yes. And I believe in Joe Hendry. And he retained his title against Matt Cardona, but the highlight of that match was at the end, when Joe Hendry goes out of the ring and he says, "I've got a great new music video all about you, Matt." And talking about Matt's career, but the highlight of the whole music video was at the end, the tagline for the video: "You will always be Edge's bitch."
Of course, alluding to Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins being the Edge heads back when Edge had a couple cronies. So.
Exactly.
Well, you've had a busy week of wrestling down in Florida, taking part of the tapings and posting those picks. That was last week. We had a big show last week, big show this week. The big show, no pun intended, CZ, keep coming here on the Card Subject Change. Let the listeners know what we have next week.
Oh, I am super excited here.
I know
I'm
you are.
That's excited when we have a guest on the show. Longtime acquaintance of mine. I've known him for years. Got to interview him during an injury stint probably about 10, 12 years ago. We are welcoming Shane the Shug Hollister onto the show next week. Couldn't be more excited. Shane's a good guy. He's been around wrestling for quite a long time. Came up in the business, of course, with names like Seth Rollins, Merrick Brave. He's been a part of SCW forever.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is an SCW Hall of Famer. He is the current Iowa champion. I can't wait to sit down and talk with him. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm sure with Stripes in the room, maybe we can get some Stripes stories from Shug.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I can only hope.
wrestling fans. We covered the Royal Rumble tonight.
That's gonna wrap up this week's episode. We've chatted here for a little over an hour about the Royal Rumble 2023. Talked a little bit about Impact Wrestling, and next week, be sure to join us for Shug, Shane Hollister, coming on the show to talk all things wrestling. For my partner, the Honorable One, Nick Bull, you can find him at NickBull55. You can find me at The Wizard CZ on Twitter. I am not going to go through all our social media tonight. I just don't have the energy. But we will see you next week. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, follow, leave a comment. We love hearing from all our listeners, and we look forward to talking to you next week.